Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as you know, the latest polarizing issue to grip the country is the Arizona immigration law that requires local police to ask for immigration papers when they reasonably suspect, that's the term the law uses, reasonably suspect that someone they're dealing with is here illegally. And now in the UK, a related firestorm has broken out from Prime Minister Gordon Brown calling someone a bigoted woman after a comment on immigration. The UK election is next week, so that is very relevant there right now. In either country, depending on your point of view, it's easy to get labeled a bigot or an open border zealot. Some people are those things, but it's a lot more complicated than that usually. So let's take a step back from the flying cactus thorns and now flying warm beer, I guess, in this debate and get perspectives from two guests who really know the southwest of the United States, and one who's even from Britain, and from you. If you have lived in Arizona, call us to tell us why you think this divisive measure has gotten this far. Or if you have lived in the UK, call and tell us why this Gordon Brown remark has ignited such a fury. 212-433-WNYC, but you have to be from Arizona or from the UK, or at least have lived there for some period of time. 212-433-9692. And later in the hour, we'll talk to the former governor of the state next door to Arizona, former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, which shares a similarly long border with Mexico, of course. And coming up later, too, we will take your calls to redesign the label that we give to people here illegally. And you can post on this right now, if you like, on our webpage. People call them illegal immigrants. People call them undocumented immigrants. Those are both loaded terms pushed by one side's interests or the other or the others. So what would you propose that's descriptive and neutral? We're not looking for something snarky here. We want a term that would be descriptive and neutral and not biased to either side and not loaded to describe in journalism people who are in this country illegally. You can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to suggest a new term on our site, and we'll take calls along those lines on the air later. But with us first is Jeffrey Kay, known to some of you from his work on the PBS NewsHour. He has a new book that he obviously finished before the Arizona law was passed last week, but it is as if he was pre-writing the context piece for today's news cycle. The book is called Moving Millions, How Coyote Capitalism Fuels Global Immigration. Part of his thesis is that mass immigration is driven less by the immigrants' needs themselves than by business and governments for their own purposes. So, Jeffrey, thanks very much for coming on. Congratulations on the book, and welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much for having me.
And listeners, again, our phones are open for people who have lived in Arizona or the UK for a take on why this issue is coming to a head in either place now. 212-433-9692 or post to our comments page. Jeffrey, your context for Arizona on this begins with the two massive waves of immigration to the state in the 1990s, one old and white, one young and brown. What was happening in the 90s?
Yeah, I would trace back what happened in Arizona recently to really the buildup at the border in California and in Texas, both designed by Bill Clinton as a political reaction to immigrants who were coming across the border during a recession. And people were angry, wanted crackdowns. So that's what he did. He militarized the border and at the time, did it with the specific intent of driving migrants through Arizona, through an inhospitable terrain. But what he did was actually drive them into one of the most conservative states in the Union. So as the demographics changed and as people got angrier and resentful, obviously this political pressure built in Arizona. And people kept coming. The fact that the border had been militarized on either side of Arizona didn't really change anything, since the fundamentals didn't change. People were still pushed across the border. So without actually doing anything to prevent people from coming in terms of incentives, either pushing them out or pulling them in, since the fundamentals didn't change, what was we were set on a collision course that has resulted in this fairly extreme legislation that just got passed in Arizona.
So to the thesis of your book, it's easy to think all these Mexicans were coming out of personal desire to look for work and look for better lives, and on one level many were.
Yeah.
But you note that U.S. government policy pushed illegal immigration east from California to Arizona, as you were just describing. What about business? Was business in Arizona mostly happy about this because they got a lot of new cheap labor?
Yeah, of course. And it's the case all around the world. You were talking about Gordon Brown in Britain, and these things are not unrelated. Every developed country is dealing with the same issue. We welcome migrants when the economy is good, and when the economy goes south, we try to do something about it, whether that means fortress Europe, trying to keep them out of Europe, or in this case England, or trying to kick them out of Arizona. It's been a pattern that has continued in this country and around the world, in this country mostly, because we have more experience with immigration, but in this country for a couple of centuries.
And in the population at large, especially the white population, you quote Janet Napolitano, the former governor, now the Homeland Security Secretary, saying immigration became equated with crowded classrooms and crowded emergency rooms and prison costs that had gone off the charts, and the federal government was perceived as not doing much of anything. So then came a showdown in the increasingly right-wing Arizona legislature in 2004, a kind of precursor to what got signed last week. What happened in the State House in 2004?
Well, in 2004, the same thing that's happening now, a great groundswell of indignation, resentment about immigration, and Russell Pierce, the man who has introduced the successful legislation in Arizona, SB 1070, started with a whole slew of proposed laws to crack down on migrants. That got, by every year, got more and more law enforcement intensive. There was a proposition in 2004, I think it was, to basically deprive migrants of from receiving state services. And in 2007, Russell Pierce got passed a law that made it a crime, a state crime as opposed to federal crime, for employers to hire illegal immigrants, a statute which Janet Napolitano, as governor, signed reluctantly, she said at the time, because the federal government, she said, wasn't doing enough to deal with the problem. So she had no choice but to hold her nose and to sign a piece of legislation that she wasn't thrilled about, which is sort of ironic given now that the people in Arizona are saying exactly the same thing about Janet Napolitano and the federal government, that this law was necessary in their view because not enough is being done by Homeland Security.
You mentioned in the book that many of the same companies that were making money on the backs of cheap immigrant labor were also donating money to anti-immigrant groups. How do you square that?
Well, there's a natural and strange bedfellows relationship between some of the migrant rights organizations and those organizations, those groups, the business groups, that depend on migrant labor. It doesn't really matter historically what the economy has been like. People who depend, businesses that depend on migrant labor, want to keep bringing them across, regardless of the fortunes of the economy. In fact, some of the biggest lobbyists now looking for comprehensive immigration reform want to include, as part of that comprehensive immigration reform, the ability to have temporary worker programs and legalization programs, exactly the same objectives that the migrant rights organizations have.
So why don't the business groups in Arizona line up consistently with the migrant rights groups as opposed to donating money to anti-immigrant groups?
Well, they do. They do line up with, I mean, look, some of their interests converge on certain issues and diverge on other issues. So it's not consistent. But certainly many of the people who have been speaking out in Arizona against this bill are diehard Republicans and conservatives.
Let's take another step back then. The title of your book is Coyote Capitalism, or some people might pronounce it coyote capitalism. Right. What does the term mean?
Well, the term coyote is, as you know, a slang term for a human smuggler. And the job of a human smuggler is to get someone across the border. They don't really care, he or she doing it. The circumstances that led the migrant to move across the border, either pushing them or pulling them, doesn't really care about the circumstances. Once they arrive, once all they have to do is get them across the border safely, and they'll get paid. Similarly, we have sort of a global system that relies to a large extent, particularly in the developed world, on the mobility of people to go from one place to another, without having as a major concern the welfare of those migrants once they get to where they're going.
My guest is Jeffrey Kay from the PBS NewsHour. His new book is called Moving Millions, How Coyote Capitalism Fuels Immigration. And let's try to tie the Arizona...
Global immigration. That's the thing I think we don't get in the United States. Uh-huh. This is happening across the world. And I loved your introduction where you said, let's step back. I don't think we have these conversations nearly to the extent that we should have about what causes migration, because I think only by looking at the ultimate causes can you actually deal in a rational way with migration. I'm sorry I interrupted your question.
No, and that's an important statement to make. And so I was, in fact, exactly going to ask you to tie the Arizona story globally to the headline news today, 8,000 or so miles away, where British Prime Minister Gordon Brown has ignited a firestorm by calling someone a bigoted woman with regard to their stand on immigration. Here's the very short Gordon Brown clip.
What did she say?
Oh, everything. She just is a bigoted woman.
Just is a bigot. And that little thing is making headline news, even here in New York, and apparently having an impact on the debate in London now with the election coming up next week. Gordon Brown's re-election as prime minister at stake. First of all, you're from the U.K. originally, is that correct?
Originally. I came here many, many years ago as a teenager with my family.
So how do you understand what happened there with Gordon Brown? What happened just before he made that remark? And is it a stretch to call the Arizona story and the Gordon Brown story related in some way?
No, it's not at all a stretch. Gordon Brown was talking to a woman, as I understand it, and I've done what you've done, read the news reports, a woman who complained about Polish immigrants. And now, as the economy was doing well in the UK, Polish immigrants poured in to the United Kingdom, getting jobs in the same way that Latino immigrants here doing menial jobs, often plumbing and all kinds of things in the UK. There was a great deal of resentment that escalated over time, with calls to crack down on immigration and throw out immigrants. To have stringent rules which have gone into place under the Blair administration and now under the Brown administration. And as the economy goes bad, immigration has become a big issue in the British election set for May 6th, and people are expressing their resentment about continuing waves of migrants coming in, not just from the European Union, but more especially from outside the European Union, Pakistanis and Indians and what have you. So there's a racial component, too, in addition to the resentment of Poles who actually have the right to move into UK countries because they're all part of the European Union, and a member of one European country can legally go work in another European country. What happened, though, to complete the circle, is that as the economy went bad in places like Ireland and England, where Poles and others had migrated from Eastern Europe, Poles especially, are going back to Poland as the economy, relatively speaking, does better in Poland. So the same forces that move people to cross borders into developed countries and now moving people back into their homelands as the economy and prospects pick up there.
Kyla in Yorktown, originally from the UK. You're on WNYC. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Okay. I just wanted to make a comment, really, as an ethnic minority who is British and currently living in the US, but still a British citizen. I recently, you know, was preparing my postal ballot for the election next week, and it's refreshing to see that you know, that Gordon Brown, you know, privately does believe that it's unacceptable to use that type of language, which has just become so much more acceptable in England as the open borders have have allowed legal, as you said, Eastern European migrants to move in. I mean, the woman actually said that these Eastern European migrants are flocking in. I can't remember exactly her words. So it's refreshing to see that Gordon Brown privately does believe that, you know, that could be seen as bigoted. So as an ethnic minority, I'm very pleased to send in my postal ballot in support of Gordon Brown's re-election.
Kyla, thank you very much for your call. Well, Jeffrey, based on your reporting, how much of the fervor behind the new law in Arizona comes from anti-Mexican bigotry? How much of this fervor in the UK against people either from where Kyla came from originally or from Poland, as in the case of the particular incident now, how much, based on your reporting for your book, do you think comes from plain bigotry, as Gordon Brown was indicating about that one woman? How much do outsiders not understand? On the other hand, a state like Arizona being overwhelmed by too much immigration too quickly for the schools, the hospitals, and the justice system to handle, and it's not really about bigotry.
I think that's a very difficult but important question, Brian, and I don't know the answer to it, frankly. No one is going to say I'm motivated by bigotry, obviously. But it's clear, and I think historically it's been the case, that people are made, frankly, uncomfortable by other folks, other people who don't look like them, who speak funny languages, who keep to themselves as minorities, as immigrants, always have done, whether they're coming into the United States from Ireland or Italy or Germany or wherever. So it's hard to separate these things, but there's no question that people feel uncomfortable by change. Benjamin Franklin famously said he was so worried about Germans flocking into Pennsylvania and putting up signs in German and signing contracts in German that he worried. He said that eventually we'll have to have interpreters so that half the legislature will be able to understand what the other half of the legislature is saying. So this anti-immigrant fervor is really nothing new, and it's almost human nature, I think, that people are troubled by outsiders and trying to integrate them. But I think what we need to do is kind of look at our own roots and realize that, you know, a lot of the issues that we're dealing with now have long histories in this country of people being uncomfortable with outsiders and not being able to accommodate or assimilate them. And we tend to romanticize our history. We tend to think that, oh, it wasn't like this when my immigrants came across America. Sure. We assimilated immediately. That's just not the case. It didn't happen.
Jeffrey Kay, author of Moving Millions, How Coyote Capitalism Fuels Global Immigration. And in just a few minutes, the former governor of New Mexico, Gary Johnson, now being called the new Ron Paul by some and a 2012 Republican presidential hopeful, will join us. Among other things, he thinks illegal marijuana is one of the roots of the problem at the border right now. But let's get one more call in for you from Phil in Queens, who used to live in Arizona. Hi, Phil, you're on WNYC.
No, Brian, I've spent a lot of time in Arizona. I'm from Brooklyn and live in Queens, but I have a place in Gilbert. I've been everywhere. I've been up on the Mesa. I have Indian friends there. People, and you're not telling the full story about what's happening in Arizona. Phoenix is the kidnapping capital of the world. There are murders. There's crime. There are burglaries. There are rapes. People, and the polls indicate, the local polls, that 70% of the people are in favor of this law, which specifically prohibits profiling, and the people need to be safe. A rancher was murdered by illegal immigrants the other day along the border. Law enforcement people have been murdered. Federal government is not doing enough. the state needs to step in and secure the area for everyone, including for the illegals. People, you know, poor people are the victims of crime by their own group more often than not. So let's tell the truth. Let's give the full picture. There are Hispanics who are for this law. There are blacks who are for this law. And you're not giving the full coverage. And I wish you'd get Governor Brewer on there and a few other people, maybe Sheriff Joe from Maricopa County, and really find out what's really going on.
Jeffrey Kay, how much do you agree with Phil's take?
I agree with the latter part of what he said. A lot of people in Arizona are behind the law. As far as the crime is an issue. Obviously, crime's always been an issue with immigrants. People who have had problems with immigrants always accuse migrants of being criminals. It's historic fact. Actually, if you look at the crime statistics and who commits the crimes, people who are here legally commit either about the same amount of crime or less crime, because think about it. If you're here illegally to earn a living and send money home, the last thing you want to do is get busted so you won't be able to find a job. You know, I think that, again, we need to step back and figure out what's going to work. No state by itself can deal with this issue. What's happening now, obviously, I mean, it's predictable, is migrants from Mexico and Arizona are now coming into, where I am actually right now is in New Mexico, coming into New Mexico, they're going to be going into California, Utah, surrounding states. The United States cannot deal with this as one country. It, by its nature, immigration is an international and global issue and needs to be dealt with on an international basis, not by any city, by any state, by any country. There need to be global organizations, international dialogues to really talk about the root causes of migration. And that's where I think we need to be heading. We need to reframe this debate, get over the obsession with the legal status of migrants, and move on to other important issues.
Jeffrey Kay, PBS NewsHour special correspondent, author now of Moving Millions, How Coyote Capitalism Fuels Global Immigration. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
And we will talk to former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson next.